Well, we are thankful this morning, as I mentioned, to have a missionary and his lovely wife, two missionaries really with us, Doug and Paula Lay. And they're not strangers to us by any means. In fact, some of us are related to them sitting in this room. His brother Randy is part of Faith Bible Fellowship. Doug is a local boy. He was in Talmadge, Ohio for the first part of his life. And so we're super thankful to have them. They are the leaders of Serving Beyond Borders, and their passion is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that. We heard about it in Sunday school. But they want to train leaders. They want to train nationals in order to make disciples who make disciples. And so praise the Lord. They work all over the world. They have special connections to the people of India and Lebanon and Mozambique and Papua New Guinea, Nicaragua. And we have had the privilege of supporting them for a number of years. And so welcome, brother. And come on up here and share the God's word with us. Thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Hallelujah. I love this church. Oof, I really do. I'm not trying to get money. I'm just telling you how I've known Pastor Les for a long time, back when we taught for Moody's Extension. Of course, you got to teach up at CVCA. Or you was the senior man. I was like put out in East Cleveland somewhere and teaching, but man, preaching and teaching the Word of God. And then watching the transition to Pastor Jeremy, I was just telling you, I just love it. I've been watching you guys online, listening to the sermon, but I'm really a little frustrated. You don't know me. Some of you have heard me before. I'm already in fourth gear. Just wait, I'm getting wound up. But that was my key. This was my stick, you know. There is no way intellectually I'm going to keep up with Pastor Les and Pastor Jeremy. You know, I can't keep up with them and their expository preaching. But I always thought I can out-enthusiastic them. That was my thing. I can out-enthusiastic them. Oh, so you go and bring Pastor Tyree on. Who's going to out-enthusiastic that guy? You know, so I've got nothing now. So I'm just going to close in prayer and we'll just go. No. Oh, no, I got something to say. So excited. I have mixed emotions coming back to Talmadge, though. A little bit about me. And I come back. It was not always good years. My mom's here. I honor my mom because my dad left us kids. And I went on a dark path. Dark path. So I have a lot of those things that come back to me when I come back to Talmadge, Ohio. But there's two things that I really get excited about. Because on July 7th, 1980, as a 17-year-old kid on 252 South Alling Road, I was mowing the yard and I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I knew I was a sinner. And I knew there was only one solution. It was the Son of God, Jesus, that he died for my sins and that he was raised on the third day. And so I turned off that mower and I went into my house and I went into my mom's bedroom. I don't know why your bedroom. I just, weird. I fell on my knees and I repented and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I love to tell my Pentecostal friends, you know, I got up and no, I didn't see the heavens open and angels descend. I didn't get slain in the spirit. And I didn't speak in language. You know what I did? I went back and finished mowing the yard. But I've never been the same since. And what else I love about Talmadge, Ohio, in high school, I was messed up with this girl, and she was messed up, I was messed up, and then I got saved, and she saw the radical change, and I started witnessing, and she started hearing the gospel, going to church, and then she got saved. And yeah, I don't know whatever happened to her, but it was, no, just, that's my wife. That's Paul and I have been married, yeah. Been known each other since 10th grade, and Kathy's sitting next to her, Kathy Detweiler, like we're now, back in the day, Kathy Detweiler and Paula Pankos were best friends, and she was the maid of honor. I saw Susie Cozy. I mean, we're having a Talmadge 1981 reunion here. Anybody else from that year? I didn't, you know, like, don't, if you want to know what I was like in high school, they can tell you, and I can tell you what then Jesus has done since then. And my mom still just smirks over there going, how did you end up in a pulpit? How did you end up as a missionary? God's wonderful grace, right, Mom? My brother Randy can tell testimonies, too, of God's amazing grace. My sister's here down for mentor. And I just wanted to share that word for you parents out there. Don't ever give up praying and hoping for your child. We are literally a miracle family by God's amazing grace. I just felt like I wanted to share that to give hope to somebody. And I love this church because you are a non-compromising church, and I say it with all the joy in my heart. I travel the world, and I travel America. I did 81 flights last year. I've already been in 9 countries. I'll be in my 10th country next week, just this year, just since January. Every month I'm in a new country trying to spread the gospel. And I love the theme we're talking about today, preaching Christ for such a time as this. And so, if you're ready, I'm ready. And I want to speak also to the youth. Any high schoolers in here? The junior high schoolers in here? Come on, don't be, yeah, all right, okay. I just got done speaking to a group of young adults, and I'm a missionary. I got to learn to adapt. For you who know anything about missions, we have to what's called and contextualize, okay? So I'm contextualizing for the adults here because I wore this thing. I wore my costume we wear in America. I mean, you call them suits, okay? So I've got a suit on, right? Sorry, that was a joke, but nobody laughed. But a week ago, I was speaking to a bunch of young adults, and so I contextualized. I started learning some Gen Alpha language. And so I put on my pandas, and I wore my hat backwards, and, you know, and I was talking to the kids, you know, like we had this phrase they were using, like, if you want to live like Jesus lived, you got to do the things Jesus did. Now, that's such a boomer phrase. But you want to go Gen Alpha, if you want to copy Jesus' fit, you got to do his drip. I mean, you want to copy Jesus' drip, you got to wear his fit, no cap, okay? Now, let the young ones, the young high school kids are laughing at that one. No, don't be sus, okay? You got to contextualize. Look at it, I got the high school kids. They're listening now. The rest of you are like, oh, do you just speak in tongues? No. But you got to learn to contextualize. So, because we got to, I'm laughing, but things are chapped. You know, our language changed, right? You know, you got this thing. What are you? You wild church? You got a drum? You got a bass guitar? I mean, when I was a kid, woo, what, you know, things change, right? But man, not like now. It's changing so rapidly. It's changing so rapidly. And when I was praying about this theme, preaching Christ for such a time as this, I started praying and I'm like, whoa, what passage would really summarize what I want to convey? And God just laid on my heart, actually, he laid on my heart through ChatGPT, and yeah. It didn't write my sermon for me. I wrote the sermon, but you got to use the tools, right? So, I'm going to try and just stretch us a little bit because the world's so changing. What we don't want to do is become old fuddy-duddies, right? Remember that old word? We don't want to become these old stuck in the ways and not reach the next generation, not reach the world. Do you know how technologically advanced the world is? If you think America is something, you know, we got an issue with the cell phones and everybody's on their cell phones, you haven't been in Asia. You go to Singapore. I was just in Singapore. I was just in Taipei, Taiwan recently. And it's just amazing. You know the difference between Asia and the West right now? When I see a kid watching his phone, you know what he's usually looking at? TikTok, YouTube, he's watching videos. You know what they're watching mostly in Asia? Live television. They watch television on their phones. Their speed, internet speed is so fast. I'm like, America, come on, Starlink, whatever. The world's just crazy. It's changing. What are we going to do? So I came to this passage, and it all just made sense to where I'm at. And so what I want to bring is a unique perspective of missions to what's going on in the world. You ready? Buckle up. Let's go. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. This is the passage. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to look at the first 8 verses. Break it down here for you. Break it down. Get that bass up here. I'm sorry. I believe it's okay to laugh in church. The world is so sad out there. I think it's okay for you to laugh. And while your mouth's open, I'm going to try and shove the truth right down into it. So that's my goal. Hey. The Browns, I don't even know what they did, and I don't care. Steelers aren't playing today. You got nowhere to be, okay? And we got communion. The best thing in church that we can do as a body of Christ is celebrate his death and resurrection. So you know what? Just relax. I go to places. I was some of my heroes, Bernie and Nancy Boyd, been in Papua New Guinea. And man, you go out in the jungle, you know what? You sit on that ground, you sit on these mat reeds. You don't sit on the ground, you sit on the mat reeds. But you know what you're afraid of? The whole church service, you're worried that that centipede's going to come up through those reeds, mats, and bite you. And if you ever get stung by one of those centipedes, oh, you will be in pain for a long time. Now, you talk about keeping people awake in church. At least you don't have to worry about a centipede right now. You just got to worry about me. Okay, you find it? Acts chapter 8. Let's go. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. This is in the context of Stephen, the first martyr of the church who had been killed for his faith. And Paul, Saul, who becomes Paul later on, was part of that. And it goes on and says, on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul was began ravaging the church, entering the house after house and dragging off men and women, and he put them in prison. Let's think about this for a second. Let's do some observations. First, look at that. I love this. Everybody got scattered because of persecution, because when problems come, we run, right? Let's get away. Let's try and find somewhere nice. Everyone except for who? The apostles. That's a fascinating statement. I think Luke was inspired to put that in there because it's showing us God's plan always sometimes has to take deviation. Because if you think about it, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus is standing there with his 11 disciples and he says to them, gives them what's called the Great Commission, right? Go therefore into all the world and make disciples, right? Go and make disciples of all the nations. Sorry, I said that wrong. I know my Bible, sorry. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, make disciples, all nations. They knew Mark 16, 15. Go and preach the gospel to all creation, to all creatures. What are they still doing in Jerusalem? Why aren't they leaving? Now, some people think part of the persecution was God's plan to get the gospel to spread, to get them to leave Jerusalem. Because God's plan has always been from Genesis 1 that the world would worship him. God didn't create it just for a few. He created it for all. Now, we know not all will worship him, but that's the goal, that people from every tribe and tongue and nation will worship him. But we don't have that happening with the apostles. So he brings a little persecution. Now people run, but what are they doing? They're actually in fear. It's a chaotic time. This is Jesus who just died and rose again. And what is the question they ask him in Acts 1? They're still waiting. Is this when the kingdom's going to be established? They're expecting Jesus to establish the kingdom. And now there's a martyr, Stephen, and now they're being persecution. Now they're being killed and put into prison. What's going on? And this passage, and this is the first point I want you to get. This passage then replies to us today because they were living in days of uncertainty. And we are living in days of uncertainty. In case you don't know it, the world has lost its mind. And this isn't just an America thing. When I'm in Bogota, Colombia, they are losing their minds. When I am in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, they are losing their minds. When I go to these countries, everyone is in question. What is going on? What's happening with our world? Where's technology taking us? Is AI going to control our lives? What is going on? These are days of uncertainty. And we have to recognize that. Now, sorry, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Les, Pastor Tyree, I you and I are together, but anyways, but these two, see, I went to a school called, this is for Pastor Les especially, so Pastor Jeremy does, because he's a Trinity guy, right? You're a Moody guy. You and I, you got some, but he went to Trinity. I went to Dallas. Now, if you know anything about Dallas Seminary, we only study two books of the Bible. They're called Daniel and Revelation. He went to Trinity, and they studied every book but Daniel and Revelation, so There's some theological joke. If you don't get that, just praise the Lord. But I want to talk prophecy for a second, because I believe it has to do with missions, and I believe it has to do with what's going on in the world right now. Is that okay for just a minute? I want to teach you something by slides. Can we see this next slide here? I want to teach you through some pictures. Okay, four pictures that I believe. I get this question a lot. What's going on in the world? And, you know, I do love talking about prophecy. I preach on it all the time, teach on it. And are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? Well, Paul thought he was in the last days. So don't do that. Did you know the rapture almost happened last week? Do you guys know about the TikTok rapture thing? It was crazy all over TikTok. Literally, Tampa Airport on their Instagram page. This is Tampa Airport, right? They put on their Instagram page 2 weeks ago, or whatever the date was, I forget. Sorry, our graphic designer was raptured. This is the only design you're going to get. When you got a secular thing talking about the rapture, it just shows you, this is crazy. What's going on out there? Are we in the last days? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I believe I'm going to say we are definitely in the beginning of birth pangs. If you look what's going on in the world, Jesus says these things are going to be going to take place, but these are only the beginning of the birth pangs. So I'm not saying we're in the final countdown to, you know, pre-trib rapture, if that, well, hopefully that hasn't happened yet, or we're all in trouble, right? You know, that type of thing. But let me just show you four things from a global perspective, from a man who travels the world. I want to show you first a mask. Think about this. Since the Tower of Babel, there has never been something that happened in the world that has affected the whole world like COVID. It was the first, think about this. World War II, people in, you know, Papua New Guinea weren't worried about world, well, they were in Papua New Guinea, actually they were. Let's say Argentina, they weren't worried about what was going on in Europe or in the Asia, you know, theater and stuff like that. You know, Roman Empire times, what was happening to the Native Americans over here. And, you know, but in COVID, I'm literally talking to people in the bush of Mozambique, and they're asking, did you get the shot? Are you wearing a mask? I'm in Papua New Guinea, and did you get the shot? Are you wearing a mask? And it's just spreading out all over the world. The first time since this is the world has been affected by something that's affecting everyone. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? I love this picture up in the top left. You know what that is? It's a solar-powered what? Phone charger. And that's from the western basin of Papua New Guinea over by the Indonesia border, where I was dropped off by a jungle plane and went into the jungles to do some training and preaching the gospel. People came over from Indonesia in there to hear the gospel and get trained in it so they could go out and spread it. And they had these. It's amazing what man's using for evil, God is using for good. We pass out SIM cards that have the Bible on these. And people who are in persecuted countries can take the little SIM card when no one's looking and slide it in, and they can read their Bible or listen to a message. It's an exciting time to be alive. Now, you know what that symbol is? You know how many countries around the world have people invested in Bitcoin or some kind of cryptocurrency? Now, I don't know if you've ever read Revelation 13, but one of the signs of the mark of the beast and one of the things is, well, we'll talk about, what's the mark of the beast? Is it 666? What is it? You know, is it a chip? Is it, well, I don't know. It's getting weird right now what's going on. If you can put a chip in a brain that can help somebody who's paralyzed start to move or communicate, it's a wild time, right? But it says clearly that the power of the Antichrist, he'll have control over what you buy or sell. That's never, in the history of the world, since the Tower of Babel, that's never been possible. What is the euro in, you know, the euro in Europe, what does that have to do with the peso in Mexico? What does that have to do with the yen in Japan? What are these currencies? How are they going to get all connected? Oh, now we can have control once that takes place. Isn't that wild? These are days of uncertainty, but here's my favorite. That is a remote, famous place, tourist place for Buddhists in a remote region of Asia that I got a privilege to go to. And guess what I got to meet there? I got to meet, no, I didn't get to meet with the underground church. If you meet somebody who works with the underground church, they don't work with the underground church. Because they're not going to tell you they work with the underground church. They're definitely not, because these people are severely persecuted. But I got to meet with people who work with the underground church. And this was cool. The gospel, things you're never going to hear about. You're never going to hear about them. Because if you did, they're in trouble. But I'm here to tell you, I heard it this morning in Sunday school. Was it Rich who said it, or was it Bernie? Somebody. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is an exciting time to be alive. Yeah, it's uncertainty. Yeah, persecution could come. Yeah, who knows what the economy is going to happen? I don't know. I'm not that kind of prophet, but I'm a prophet to tell you what time it is, and it's time to get ready for Jesus. And that's what we're living in right now, days of uncertainty. But let's look at what happened in days of uncertainty then and what it can teach us now. Look what it goes on and says in verses 4 and 5. It says, therefore, those who had been scattered went about crying about how bad it was and how hard it was and how tough life was. Is that what they went about complaining? No, it says they went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Now, what is our theme? Preaching Christ for such a time as this. Days of certainty are the times to preach Christ. The hardest people to reach are Western Europeans and Americans in their comfortable houses, living comfortably, trying to tell them about Jesus Christ. And they're like, that Jesus sounds good, but you know, I don't want to be bothered. I want to watch my TV. I just got a new pool put in. I want to swim. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm living in Florida right now. That doesn't apply to Ohio. But anyways, that's a winter joke. I got to have one. But seriously, they went about preaching Christ in the middle of their persecution. I was just in a country last month, and I went to a really pretty remote part of this country. Be like, Mom, we're going back to our roots in West Virginia. It was that remote, you know, and my jokes don't work in any country. I see that. West Virginians are offended. It was a joke. We're from there. So anyways, the Kentuckians, you're all Kentuckians just mad. It was West Virginia. I was with 40 pastors who came out of villages and that, and almost everyone, when they would come up to me after my training in the gospel, would say, thank you. He goes, and they would tell me their stories. Losing their jobs, can't find work, being ostracized from their villages, churches ransacked, kids harassed. All of them have faced persecution. But you know what? They weren't telling me that complaining. They were telling me that just as a fact of life, but it wasn't stopping them from preaching the gospel. And that they're going out and they're trying to get people saved. That's what this is the time for. That's what we take the opportunity. Now is the time to preach Christ. And I want to, I know I'm not beating you up. I'm encouraging you because you are doing, this church is doing it. You know how many churches now are giving up on missions? Because they got to focus on us. You start focusing on us, I'm telling you, you're going to go one of two ways. You're going to close or you're going to become progressive. It's just going to happen. You're going to start compromising because you got to get more people in the pews, so you'll start compromising. Or you won't care about missions, and you won't compromise, and you'll die. God blesses people who care about what he cares about. And God cares about people getting saved, and God cares about the world. And when this church continues to do that, you're going to continue being like you are. And I've watched you grow over the years, and I've watched you go deeper in the faith, and I love it. And keep it up. And why do we do missions? Now, I don't need to tell you. In honor of Moody Bible Institute, I'm going to quote from George Sweeting, the president many years ago. I love how he said this. Suppose our lawn needed to be cut. I could say, boys, can you see the need? The grass is high. It's above my knees. Soon it will not be. I will not even be able to get in the garage. Don't you see the desperate need? Boys, come on, mow the yard. We need to mow the yard. But in the final analysis, they get out the mower because their father says, mow the grass. And that's world evangelism. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all the nations. We're getting there, but it's not done yet. It's an imperative. It's a command. I always say, if you're not involved in missions, you're just not a faithful Christian. It's just that simple. So how do you be involved in missions? You pray, you go, and you support your church that gives. And this church gives, and you should be supporting your church. It's just that simple. That's a happy clappy moment, I know. But it's just so true. I want this church to continue to be blessed and stay on the path you're on. But I want you also, because it also is individually. You want to live a blessed life? Care about what God cares about and watch him bless you. You start giving to missions, I'm telling you, your finances will change. Now, I'm a prosperity gospel preacher who drives a 2017 Ford Escape, okay? And that insult to injury, I have to share it with my wife. Now, what do I mean by prosperity? See, that's why everybody gets upset with that word. People are like, I don't like the prosperity gospel. Okay, brother, let me pray for you. Lord, would you pray for this brother to lose his house? And Lord, may he also foreclose on everything else he has and his car get repossessed. And Lord, may he live in poverty and beg on the side of Route 8, you know, and Lord, just... No, I want to be blessed so I can bless others. That's why. That's true prosperity. It's not so you can buy your toys. It's so you can bless people who need it and you can advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want for our people. I always love to say, Jesus didn't die on the cross so you can be broke, busted, and disgusted. He died on the cross so you can help advance his kingdom. Man. Amen. Brother, Pastor Tyree, I'll pull you up here and have you get them excited for me. But let's go on. Now that they're preaching Christ, let's see how they preach Christ. Look at verses 6 and 7. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of him shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. Okay, here's where it gets weird, right? Now, let's remember, this is not Philip the Apostle. This is Philip the Evangelist from Acts 6. He's a deacon. Before deacons were actually, I think, official, but he was like the first one. But look how it came. He got up and he was telling people about Jesus. You know you're a sinner, but Jesus can save you from your sins. Do you want to accept Jesus? Can I pray with you? No, you're a weirdo. Get away from me. That's not how the gospel comes. The gospel comes, and the world needs, and write this down, the world needs a Christ with power. Christ comes with power, and the preaching of the word comes with power. If there's a miracle, hallelujah. If there's a power encounter, hallelujah. I'm not pro that. I'm not against that. I am just pro Jesus with power. Let me remind you, in Acts 1, when Jesus says, I am going away, but you will shall receive something. When I ask people, what will they receive? Most people say the Holy Spirit, and that's not what Jesus emphasized. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, when I'm in some countries, and I've had this happen, I mean, I could tell you stories and stories and act like the cool missionary, and I pray over people. I literally, one guy pray, falls on the ground, starts slithering like a snake and hissing, and I'm like, huh, I wonder if he has a demon, you know? I've prayed over people, and there's been some things happen, physical healings and stuff like that, and we brag about it. Now I can ask for an altar call and give me money and send me money, and I'll send you a cloth, and maybe you'll get healed, and we can do it. We can exploit it, right? And we forget the point. It's God's power. But all I want to know is, and all I ask Christians is, do you have power in your life? And the number one thing is, Acts 10:38, Jesus, you know Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38 says, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yeah. Are you being set free from the power of the devil in your life? Are you still falling in the same nagging sin, doing over and over? You don't have power. You need to repent and believe that God has given you the power to defeat the devil. Not you, but the power in you. That's called the Holy Spirit. And we got to preach Christ with this power. And I could tell you stories. Literally, what do I do? Like, do these things not happen when I have a guy from the Middle East who says, I was praying And I was like, God, he prayed, Allah, I want to know the truth. I need to know the truth because you've been hearing about this Jesus. He has a dream. There's Muhammad and there's Jesus, which I don't know how he saw this actually, because you're not allowed to see a vision of a prophet. But he said he saw it, and down through he was in a well begging, help me, help me. And he saw Jesus and Muhammad, and it was Jesus who reached down, grabbed him, pulled him up. And when he said that, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now he's making disciples throughout North Africa. Am I going, well, those things don't happen. No. It's just the preaching of the word. No, it's the preaching of the word with power. And the power doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me. It comes from him. And however he wants to do it, he can do it. But I'm just saying, when you talk to somebody, do you have power when you're talking to them? I know this is wild, you know, but that's what I'm trying to just say. People don't want to hear your Jesus. You're a sinner. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. That's why I'm all messed up. Can you give me some hope? Yeah, I'm going to give you hope. Jesus can change your life. He can give you a new life. He can give you eternal life, and he can give you joy right now. Does that sound something you want? Yes. Hallelujah. I always say, no Mormon or Jehovah's Witness is going to out of joy me into the preaching the gospel. We got the true gospel. Yes. All right, sorry, I'm getting wound up. But I'll tell you just fun. It just one happened to the other day. Good friend of mine, somebody I know real well, he was talking to a man. And this man said, I want to pray for you. So he starts praying for him. And in the middle of the prayer, the man stops and just goes, you know, you were telling me earlier about some of the things you've done wrong. He goes, do you feel like you're disqualified for ministry? And this man just told his heart just broke right there. And he just started down crying and crying, because that's exactly what he believed, the lie of the devil. Because some of the sins of his past, he can never be used forward by God. And this man caught it out, and he just weeped and said, God can still use you. Don't go on the shelf. Don't let Satan think you can't be used. Brothers and sisters, that's as much a power encounter against the evils of the devil as some wild miracle that happens overseas. That's what we mean by power. People being set free from the lies of the devil. That's what the world needs. But it doesn't stop there. I love the result. This is the result, and I'll finish with this. The world needs a Christ. Oh, actually, I don't want to say it yet. Let's read the verse. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. What the result? So there was much rejoicing in that city. You know who has the hardest job? And I don't know. Maybe in this church, not. I hope not. But in most churches I talk to, it's actually not the lead pastor who has the hardest job. You know who has the hardest job? I don't even know. Where's the worship leader at? Carl? Who is here singing? Okay, Carl and Steve. Okay, you're today. But Carl also, right? You too? I know. You have the hardest job. Why? Because you're worshiping Jesus, and you're just reaching. What are you looking sometimes? Have to see. That's got to drive you crazy. That's why I'm a good lead pastor, man. You always face forward during worship. Because you'll get up here and lose your mind, right? You pastors know what I'm talking about. Look what happened when the Holy Spirit was being used by men and women preaching the gospel out. And you notice it wasn't the apostles. It was those who were persecuted. It was you. That's what we pay Pastor Jeremy for. No. He's to equip you. It's you to do the work of the ministry. It's you to preach to your family. It's you. Now, preaching's such a negative word, isn't it? We think, yeah, gotta preach. I'm gonna preach today. I'm gonna preach the gospel. That's what we think it is. You gotta go up and beat somebody up. No. What did Wesley say? Just get on fire and let people watch you burn for Jesus. You should be so full of joy. You should be rejoicing so much that people are curious about you. Don't you know what's going on with these tariffs? Don't you know what's going on with this TikTok stuff? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why are you happy? Oh, because it doesn't define me. I don't let the algorithms tell me what to believe. I let the Word of God tell me what to believe, and I judge the algorithms by that. Now, I know this is going to maybe make some of you mad, but some of the older people, listen, your kids are not going to get off social media probably. You can keep them as long as you want, and you should. I mean, the statistics are out there. The longer you can keep kids off of social media, and all the kids are like, whatever. But you know the statistics. But at some point in their life, they're probably going to use Instagram. Why? Because us adults do. Or we use Facebook, or we use, no, I don't use TikTok, whatever. But I mean, this is how we communicate. This is kind of, so what you can do is you can say, don't use that. Just like older parents said, don't watch TV, don't watch TV. We all watch TV, right? But we don't train them in how to judge things, how to use the Bible to judge things. So you can go, you know that TikTok video is lying to me? You know that X algorithm that's trying to make everything about racial divide? It's trying to manipulate me to think it's all about race. You know that Instagram post that just keeps coming up telling me all about how it's all about sex, it's all about sex. You know what? They don't influence me because I judge them. They don't judge me because I got the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I don't fall prey to those stupid lies of the devil. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. So I'd rather train our young people up how to think biblically, how to think spiritually. Let's be the influencers instead of the influenced ones. Get on Instagram and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But don't be scrolling during church. I've said this so many churches. I've said it here before. I say it all the time. And I just can't help myself. One of my favorite verses that I believe every Christian should memorize. Now, that's a tall order. I mean, I have my doctorate in, apologetics. I have a master's in theology, doctorate in apologetics. I've been preaching and teaching for 40 years. And you know what? I still try to memorize at least one or two verses a week. I heard Dawson Trotman say after I learned, he said, after my first 1,000 verses, I said, game on. Then I learned 1,000 verses, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I guess you're ready to die. Oh, game's not on. I better up my game. I'm not going to stop until I die because I want the Word of God to influence me versus social media. I have to keep memorizing verses. So if you want to get 1,000 verses, I'm going to give you one to start with. Game on. Luke 21:28. It's not going to be on your screen. You're going to have to look it up for yourself, but write it down. Luke 21:28. Jesus, in the middle of giving his talk on prophecy and the second coming, in the middle of it, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, I love it, straighten up and lift up your head. Your redemption's drawing near. You know what I love to do around the world? And I love it. I mean, I do. I'm a weirdo. But God can use weirdos for Jesus. I mean, you know, there you go. I'm giving some of you hope. I love to just sometimes just smile. Just why are you so happy? Oh, man. Because I know the last part of the story. What's the last part of the story? Put that last slide up there, please. Christ overcame the world. What are they going to do to you? Kill you? Well, they killed Jesus. They killed Paul and Peter. You may be killed. I go to countries where people are killed. People ask me, are you scared there? What are they going to do to me? Kill me? Okay, maybe they torture me. Wow, now I get to be suffered for the faith? Man, now it's laid up for me the crown of righteousness? What am I afraid of? Why are we living in fear? I can't handle Christian. I tell them, join another religion. You're making Jesus look bad because I've read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've read Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. Where's your shepherd at if you're all broke, busting, disgusted, and you're all unhappy? How's that going to advance the gospel to the kingdom? That's my interview for a missionary. If you ever take on another future missionary, it's a real easy interview. Are you happy? Yeah. Why are you happy? Because of Jesus. Good, you're qualified. Get out there. We need enthusiastic people who love Jesus and aren't afraid of the future to get out there in Talmadge, Ohio, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because that's what the world needs right now. And for such a time as this, you need to realize, yes, You young people, want to know a terrible verse in the Bible? Here's a terrible verse. Like, you can't say that. Yeah, I am. 2 Timothy 3:1. You got to wrestle with it. You know what it says? But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. I'm shocked at how people are like, the persecution with Christians. Like, we're shocked. Like, they're persecuting us. They're, you know, we're not, you know, we're being blackballed, blacklisted. You know, we're not getting jobs. Well, didn't you ever read 1 John 3:13? Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, when the world hates you. Wear it as a badge of honor. I'd rather have Jesus love me and the world hate me than the world love me and Jesus rejects me. It's not rocket science. This is the gospel. This is the good news. So I'm telling you, and this is what's going around the world. The gospel is spreading. People are excited because when bad times come, they're looking for hope. You know, more Muslims have come to Christ in the last 50 years than the previous 1,200 years of Islam. Jews for Jesus is exploding around the world because all the Jews are wondering what's happening right now with Israel. When it comes down, people realize this world doesn't have answers. Our government doesn't have answers. The technocrats don't have answers. There's only one person who has answers, and that's Jesus Christ, and he is the hope of the world. So Faith Bible Fellowship, don't lose hope. The king is coming. He wins. We know that. But what Satan's going to try and do is get you distracted. Don't worry about missions. Talmadge has enough problems of its own. Yes, it does, and so does the world. But you know what? You can turn on WCRF Stellar Radio, and along with other radio stations or the internet that you have free access to here, you can get the gospel easily. But there are still places that we have to go to. I was in a country that is under Sharia law, that there is no way you can preach the gospel, and yet God is sending foreign workers into this country who are meeting with underground churches, and their house churches, and they're forming. And if you read the books, this is listed as an unreached country. But it's not. Because why? Because God said, his word, that there'll be people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And that's happening. And you're part of it. Did I put the slide? Can I finish with this? I got to brag about Serving Beyond Borders for 1 minute. I think that's why I'm up here, right? Did we have the slide with the gospel booklets in there? I just want to share this real quick. You see that? This is our newest project. I just want to let you know. I used to give out the blue book on the side called the Bible Blueprint, but nobody could figure out why we titled it that. So we just turned it and put it to the gospel. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for your sins and was raised on the third day. That's how you get saved, believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's not a prophet. He's not a guru. He's the Son of God. The great confession of faith, when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Bingo, I'm going to build my church on that. That's a paraphrase of what Jesus said. I don't think he said bingo. But. And you're a sinner, and he died for your sins. It's just that simple. Keep substitutionary atonement. The progressives are trying to take it out. Don't go. Don't go there. I was saved because nothing I did. He died for my sins. And he was raised on the third day. And we just rebranded it. And we're going to get it translated in every language I can find. Let's go, Bernie. Let's go, Nancy. Let's get it going. Game on. That's what your money's going to, projects like that. I have a website. We already have it translated in a bunch of languages. But we put it up so the underground churches can access it on the internet. This is an exciting time. Thank God for technology. So, anyways, I don't have a great story. I had a great story to end with, but why go long? I'd rather get to communion, wouldn't you? Celebrate the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. But I love you guys. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for the leadership keeping you from going wayward. You should be thankful for the men and women leading. Thank you for your pastors. Because I see the progressives out there, man, they're nasty. I'll be leaving next week for a country in Africa to meet with a, I got hooked, connected with a guy, weird story, who wants to start a training school to combat the cults and the false prosperity gospel in Africa. It's an exciting time to be alive. So let's practice right now, okay? Let's practice this message. We're going to do application because application is important. Let's practice. Man, some of you, I think your face just broke. Yeah, praise the Lord. In all seriousness, let's bow our heads right now for a moment. Let's prepare our hearts. I shared the gospel, but let's get serious right now. Have you ever embraced the gospel? This is a great church that preaches it, but I know how easy it is. I sat as a young boy listening to the gospel, but I never really embraced it. Have you ever embraced it? Have you ever admitted you were a sinner? Your life right now just doesn't seem right. You know there's something missing. And right now you're feeling it going, man, I hear about this joy, but I'm not happy. I don't have joy. Something is missing. And what's missing is you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe this is your day. Maybe this is your day to say, yeah, I need saved. I need this joy. There's nothing special you have to do. You just have to put your faith in the Lord. And right now, you just tell him that. God, I believe. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe there's hope. I believe he died for me. I believe he was resurrected. And I want to go all in on him. And if today's your day, you can't keep it private, you need to tell one of the pastors after service, saying, I want to get right with God. He will never turn away those who come to him because he's drawing you to him right now. God, for every man and woman who's hearing this, whose heart is being stirred, Lord, we thank you. Those of us who've been saved, we thank you. We remember what it was like being dead in our sins, lost, no hope, and then you made us alive in Christ. And now not only that, you raised us up with him and you've seated us with him in the heavenly places. And we long for that day that so in the ages to come we will know the surpassing riches of your grace, the kindness of your intentions to give us the goodness that comes from you, from the fullness. Save those who you're calling right now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.